If I could have everybody's attention, we're going to get the open mic going. So, shh. It's amazing how that works. Shh. I worked at the Carnegie Library for many years. This is how we did it. Shh. There you go. We're going to start off the open mic because you guys are having too much fun and we want to bring it back to the writing. So, shh. But have a few drinks. We're going to start off with Andy over here. Andy, how do you spell Pivornik? Andy Pivornik. What? The limit, I am told to make sure is crystal clear. Two pages. That's two. Two pages. Don't make us come back up here after you. I've seen Joan take people down. It's not something you want to experience. So, Andy Pivornik, come on up here.
Go ahead, you can touch it. You want to touch it? Touch it. No, touch it. I touched it. Oh, shit. It's not mine. Okay, my name's Andy Pivornik from Newcastle, PA. Drove in here. I used to party here back in the 60s, and it was a hell of a lot different. Damn, shit. The fact that I can remember is amazing. But I am a retired counselor from a secure facility in Newcastle for juveniles. Pretty violent, pretty crazy. All those years of counseling, I wish I could forget some of the conversation, but I can't. And since retirement, I've been doing theater and writing. Now, this is my book, but I'm not going to read anything from that. I'm reading two new ones that I just wrote recently. The first is called Tea for One. She sits. Her gaze lands on empty spaces on the wall where moments of love and laughter once hung. A hot cup of tea, softly held, warms her as the chilling words when he left resonate in this bell tower of a home. Questions lingering within the answers stumble between the lies, the fights, and the useless forgiveness. Okay, this is my second one, that'd be two. So this is I wrote this after the shootings at the Tree of Life. It bugged the shit out of me for days. Everybody talking about hate, and we're bigger than hate, and all that. But I worked with evil every fucking day for 20 years. Hate's nothing. Evil, on the other hand. Well, that's why I wrote Nye. But there is a place where emptiness meets anger, feeding each other with lies. Darkness connecting with darkness, rumbling whispers that bounce off each other in undistinguished suffering, drowning out the song of man. Evil covers the eyes and hardens the heart, poisoning the mind with numbing darts of hatred. Steps are taken, leading to destruction, causing grief to those in its path. Spreading its twisted footprint on an unexpected land. As evil squeezes its carriers until their blood drips into the mouth of hell. Demons scream and scratch at a frenzied display of fear, for they know their end is nigh. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Next up, we got John Fantin. Fantin? John, come on up here.
All right. I used to party in Pittsburgh, too, back in the day. And this poem is kind of back in, you know, my party days. But this particular piece is called After Party. It was published... in September by the Naciona. It's an online journal, literary journal. But I'm just going to read one. So this is called, like I said, After Party. Her Pomeranian shot back and forth like the white lines cut out on the coffee table as she tucked bleached hair behind her ear and snorted from the rolled up bill. She stripped at Blush, the same club she said her father once frequented. After gulping Vladimir and Punch from a plastic cup, she blurted, "Because of me, he doesn't go there anymore. I'm glad I took that away from him." She had invited me from the bar to her after-after-hours party, promising Coke and shrieking how she loved gay men. The straight guys sat at her kitchen table playing poker as she handed me the bill roll, saying, "You're a good listener." I remember how lonesome she seemed beside me when months later I heard her landlord found her hanging. Sorry, that's a little downer there, but thank you.
All right, Coke and Pomeranians. We've all been there, am I right? Next up is Ian Heiss.
Not given much to preamble. Although, a little preamble to this first poem. Apologies to Dr. Seuss. My name is Spam, Spam I am. I'll make you eat eggs and green ham. Say no to me? What the heck? I'll soon make you all a nervous wreck. I'll ring your phone till I ring your ears. I'll email you, that's what I'll do. I'll bury you with virtual fear. And I'll crash all your servers, too. I'll fill your mailbox, pound your door. You'll hold your ears and pace the floor. Yes, you will buy green ham and egg. Even with your last thin dimes. You'll request it. You will beg. Welcome, friend, to modern times. Thank you. Now, this one tries to be funny and it ends up serious. That's how a lot of my conversation is, I guess. Here's a question I'll ask you direct. Can we speak of life after intellect? It seems the more we've qualified, the more tightly our hands are tied. Science has gone round the bend. Matter forms galaxies great. But when they reach a certain mass, they shrink into black hole concentrate. The humanities aren't far behind. Political science is a single line. It has a left and it has a right, but lacks the breadth and depth and height to keep the people from a fight. The more logical theories seem, the more they make me want to scream. The more they wish to end our pain, the less confusion they explain. The more precise we draw the plan, the more we tend to leave out men and fail to add a single dram of human kindness or a prayer. It seems we have a blindness there. You may not feel that you agree. Our limitations do exist, yet failing to account for them permits this madness to persist.
All right, I've known this next guy a long time. Kevin Finn, come on up here.
Woo! All right. So I'm going to read a couple here that are relatively new. First poem is about my friend Alan and I went to Chicago to play a gig, and it's called Warehouse Chicago. A face like Winona Ryder's, retro, early 90s. A man who feels displaced by riches. The scar on the lip of the road resonates with the rose of the streetlight. I'm miles away from home in a Chicago warehouse with a Greek restaurant down at the corner. Remember the smell of tea and the taste of grape leaves and how we walked past the brown brick of buildings that radiated blue light through draped windows. The train carried us up over the rails to look down at the city. So young, a new moss, caricatures in a sun as pallid as diamond fingers on the beach. Sun-worn, we rested. We tracked phantom water. We carried sand from the well. And then this one, there was a... had like a bunch of squirrels in our house over the past few months. And this one, they moved to the front of the house around Easter. So that's it's kind of like an Easter poem with squirrels in it and strange tarot reading. Easter. Later, I announced I was not dead, that I was, in fact, alive. I noticed the garden had grown over, the ivy, the sullen dirt. The rain diminished the rope to merely a tether, and warm daffodils rang out from the fallen tree. There are squirrels in this house. They run rampant above the porch. The morning like a circus clown that shakes the floors with a tiny red tricycle. I spread the cards out before me. Choose three and set my eyes on a gold-encrusted emerald, a bag of flour, a pigeon feather. These are days just like that. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Next up, we have Mark Seppi.
All right.
This is good. Stone fruit. This is what I have heard. This is a tree that was struck by lightning. It lives despite it. A branch was here, and now it's not. The sky has taken it. Or earth, and what makes an earth? Beetles, worms, grasses pecked through robins. Watch seasons end over in cycling. Their freeze and thaw born rain and drought. Look for yourself and look hard enough. That is where it lies. That is where it laid. That is where the shadow used to cast. A cherry needs deeper winter to make the fruit uncountable. The numbers in our mouth turn round while our body knows too many. Try them. Tongue swell beneath the tart. Pit, a place between the two. Don't mistake this. You wouldn't. I'll show you. These are my hands. You can see the things held within these hands. Here, a stone that sinks. Here, a stone that won't. Crossroads. Listen, I don't know who you are, but we pick songs together on the jukebox and sing along to each of them one by one. You say to me, crazy. And I return, crazy for feeling so lonely. Here, somewhere we are singing together at the Crossroads Bar, the saddest country ever sung. We weren't so much feeling that way then, and in that moment, The universe is holding this, or whatever it's called. With the universe holding us together, all of us, that is, committing it to memory. Thank you.
All right, our last reader tonight is going to be Marina Feck.
Thanks. So I wrote this poem, and it was a little bit inspired by Ricky Laurentis. He, like, two lines from Black Iris are in this poem. So it's called Our Mother's Lambs. And here runs the blood through the body, deep, watery. Your mother held your heart in her hands and started it with one swift movement to get the blood pumping. It was the boldest crimson she had ever seen, and that color became sacred. Later, you started splitting your skin and dressing the wounds in sackcloth and ashes. When your mother saw, she told you that your blood wasn't yours to spill, that your body wasn't yours to ruin. She reminded you of her swollen belly breaking open like an egg. She reminded you that you were born unto blood, her blood. She had given up her body for you, woman became Eucharist. Without your mother's knowledge, you let the river run. You let it run until it dripped from your fingertips into the sink, and you bathed in it, baptizing yourself in your sin. And here runs the message in the blood. Your mother was a sacrifice. Born a lamb like every woman, our bodies an everlasting feast and a never-ending font. Many put their hands on it, take from it, bury themselves inside of it, stand up in it, and call it a home. Spilling your own blood did not stop others from forcing you open. You learned early that your body was meant to be consumed. It is the wafer placed gently on the tongue. It is the wine in the chalice being held up as an offering.
Okay, I think that's sort of just about it for tonight, but I want to just remind you that the whole series will be on our blog, so you can hear the whole series, and you can hear the last 8 years before it, so that you can hear Ricky Laurentis, who read last summer with Toy Derricott, and you really just should listen to them. Okay, you should just hear them. And you can hear all the Mad Women who read last year and the year before that, because they've read a couple of years in a row. You can hear the Squirrel Hill Poetry Exchange, Poetry Workshop. You can hear the community poets, the national poets who come through here, and more to come. I really encourage you to do that, because it's a great resource. And you can hear yourself, which is really helpful. It really helps. So I want to just mention that the whole schedule is on Litzburg. So you go on Litzburg and you can see not only the names of who's reading, but everybody's bio note. So you can say, who are these people? Who the heck are these people? So, and then you can sort of follow what's happening. We'd really love to have you all back next week. I want to remind you about Michael Worster's reading this coming Thursday. Be there. Yay, Michael. Okay, be there to support Michael Worster, because he's been... And what? Carnegie Library, Lecture Hall, 7 o'clock. We want to pack the place. Be there. Judy Vollmer will be doing the introduction. It'll be great. Hope to see you there. Okay. Thank you, Chris.